Hola, ¿cómo están?
Hello.
And let me also...
Hello, this is represented.
Let me also turn this off. Stop. I think I did that right. I hope I did that right.
No, we should play the gospel music and then take me to the king.
Okay.
I don't.
So,
okay.
Thank you all for listening to this third episode of Keep It Esoteric. Here I am with my good friend Elijah Jacobs, aka the smartest person in the world. I have to glaze him because he is one of the few people here that has matched my wavelength and can read my mind. So
that is not true. I'm your local congressman.
Doing exactly.
My re-election interview right now.
Future local congressman.
No.
Amen. Hallelujah. But anyways, Elijah, I always start off with kind of the same question for all my subjects. How's life been?
It's been good. It's been very busy. Spring term is definitely a lot different than your winter and your fall, but it's been really enjoyable, really excited for what's to come. How about you?
I'm glad you asked.
It sounds like you want...
It's been really good.
That's good.
Yeah. Well...
Are you being deceptive?
If I'm being completely honest, I will say it has been... The start of the spring term has given me some deja vu to the start of winter.
Deja vu. I'm trying to catch myself. Sorry. You know, the Beyonce song.
Beyonce, I'm gonna
let you go.
So, wait, who sings that again?
Beyonce. Oh. And, like, her Coachella version's, like, the best.
Yeah, let's keep it that way.
No. I'm going to see Bay. I'm going to Bay July 4th in D.C. That's going to be my resurrection of this country.
Oh, yes. Oh, it's starting there.
No, it's not starting there, but she's having, like, a show on July 4th in D.C.
The resurrection is starting there. The insurrection.
I ain't trying to go to jail. Okay.
But no, if I'm being completely transparent, I feel like the start of this term has just been like the start of winter term, and the start of winter term was not a good start to my term.
That's so real.
Because I'm having a lot of second thoughts about things. Like, and I feel like I'm running out of time.
Is it career, academic,
I don't know
professional?
I don't know what it is yet. But one thing I do know is that I will survive, and I will get through it, and I will live.
Yeah, that's so true. I remember the start of winter, and that it was definitely a bit of a challenge. And then, like, I got sick from GDX, and then, like, an entire, like, friend group, like, fell apart, and it was all, like, intersected. And then I had, like, the roughest class I've probably ever taken at the school, so, but then everything kind of got better, so I guess it's a process, kind of. But this term has been, like, so busy. Like, I started a job, and, like, I didn't realize this job would be, like, so much of a commitment. Because, like, I usually work during the day, and, like, I work either before class or, like, and during my lunch. And, like, they have events, so, like, I've been to every event. And then after every event, they have a dinner for the speaker. And then, like, the dinners last, like, 2 hours. And then, like, I have, like, 40, 50 pages of reading and
yeah.
Then, like, clubs. And, like, I've literally, like, every night, like, I get to my dorm at, like, 10 o'clock, and I immediately fall asleep. But, like, I don't know. It's been fun, though. It's essential, definitely, for keeping your mind engaged,
yeah,
and active and stimulated.
No,
sure.
That's completely true. I mean, I think the one thing I told myself at the start of winter term was that I was going to start doing whatever I wanted, which meant I auditioned for a play, and I got
yeah.
a role in the play. I got a job at a daycare. I love the kids. I started doing like a lot of club work. I started getting really involved in a bunch of different clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started realizing like the same thing you had. Oh shoot, I have to read page 10 through page 70.
And academics always come first. Definitely for my future law and finance bros out there.
Of course.
Gotta keep the GPAs high. 3.8 plus.
I say that money comes first, but you know.
I mean, it's GPA and then money.
Academics to get to the money. But
GPA predicates the money.
Because you can be smart. Wait, no. You can be rich and stupid as hell.
Yeah, but if you have a good GPA, you'll still get the job. You'll get to round one. You'll get the super day.
But as I started to realize, you know, I was doing a bunch of, you know, amazing stuff. Like, I'm so busy. I don't have time for friends or relationships or nothing. I started to realize, damn, I'm kind of lonely. And sometimes you just want to go out and party. But then you realize you're so burnt out, you don't even want to do that. So now it's like, do people know that I'm open to, like, being fun? Or do people think I'm, like, some boring person that's only focused on, like, school and work?
Last term, I probably partied a little too much. y'all know who y'all are out there who was stimulating and still stimulates that party gene. But it was fun-ish. Like, it could never match even, like, the most basic club back at home. But, like, there was, like, one night that was really fun. What purportedly supposed to be, like, the worst fraternity here. Like, they had one DJ set, and, like, he was just playing, like, the most basic, but, like, the most, like, stimulating music. And then I kept on, like, just running into people, and it was, like, low-key very enjoyable. But, you know, this term, walking a little bit more. Because we'll party during the summer, I guess. I don't know, hopefully. I love to party, though. I don't think people know that. I literally don't think people know that. Like, I mean, I think people, like, kind of, like, stereotype and, like, here, like, with the nightlife being, like, so just, I don't know, just, like, so desolate sometimes. Like, it's really easy to, like, lose, like, that facet of just being a you. Because, like, kind of nightlife does, like, culminate in a lot of different forms. That's why, like, you know, the hand under thing, like, yesterday right. was perfect because it kind of encapsulated, like intersected, like, a lot
You're
of different
right.
types. Like, they had, like, the DJ set, which was, like, kind of lame. But then they also had, like, the bands, which were, like, amazing, like, very versatile. They had, like, the night before, they had a lot more, like, art and, like, cultural and, like, ethnic bands, which were amazing, phenomenal. And, like, I mean, that's kind of what you experience regularly in a city, which you don't hear about when they do. It's really renewing, really revitalizing, for
yeah.
sure.
And I always think about, like, if I went to a school in a big city, what would my life be? Would I be happier? Would I be happier for having easier access to a bunch of different diverse events and diverse, you know, third spaces and second spaces and all this stuff?
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, but if I'm not willing to put the initiative in to going out to different places here and, you know, bum ass hand open, I'm joking. how am I going to have that energy to do it in a big city like New York or like LA or like some other place like that? Like, I think it's definitely a part of me that I'm trying to discover, because I think genuinely back at home, I was the person that you would expect to be like, you know, like, I don't know, actually, I think I was pretty lame when I was at home. I would always tag along with friends, but I would never be the one to kind of initiate stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I would never be like, come on, let's go, like, hang out. I'd be like, hey, like, can you give me a ride to...
Wait, did you have your driver's license?
I had my driver's license, but, you
so,
know...
So then why are you asking for a ride?
Because I wasn't paying for no gas, I would always be the tag along. I was never really like the, or like I'd go out with my mom, or I'd go out with my friends and my mom.
Where did you go out? Olive Garden?
No, we didn't go to Olive Garden. We had taste.
Where did you go?
We would go to places like downtown Greenville for my South Carolinians.
Where did you go in downtown Greenville?
You could go to Gather Greenville. You could go to,
I went to a Christian concert in Columbia, South Carolina.
So that is not where we are going.
Maverick City. It was beautiful.
Columbia, guys, I lived in Columbia for 10 days. Did you know that? I lived in Columbia for 10 days. Right? I lived like 2 seconds away from USC.
Yeah. Like, that's like the worst college I've ever seen.
What?
I mean, that college is literally brick and built on a major highway.
To all my USC friends
disgusting.
Listening. He doesn't know any better. He lives in Duke country.
No, I might be spoiled by UNC Chapel Hill being a beautiful campus, right? Connected to Duke. But USC was low-key, like, one of the worst. Like, I was, like, actively touring because I was in 10th grade, and, like, I was like, okay, like, you know, USC, whatever. We walked through that campus. Like, it was terrible.
Okay.
Like, I've never been, like, that averse, like, repulsed by a college campus
the
before.
The only thing that makes the campus scary, because I was walking through campus, too, not as a student, but as a regular person, mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine actually having, like rush to class and having to cross, like, 8 lanes
Girl,
to get to class.
No.
And then, like, you know, have Ford F-150s going buck 20 on the highway.
I know.
And you don't
no, there
in.
Was a football game out there, too.
Oh, yeah, the football games are, like, Taylor Swift concerts, or, like, you can't get parking within a 500-mile radius.
And there's a concert. Football game.
And Taylor Swift is actually performing at the football game too.
What was I about to say? The restaurant we went to was so fun though. Even though it was so bad
in
because
Korea?
Like yeah.
What restaurant?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Was it a
so
Korean
long.
Joint?
I don't know. They had like music or whatever. But it was so bad because like originally we were walking around, in like a very like kind of quotation marks because you can't really walk. Around.
That's not a walk-around.
But the only restaurant that had seating was, like, this, like, off-brand Hooters.
Ah!
And, like, nobody knew because, like, from the outside, it was, like, just a normal, like, dumb little southern restaurant. But, like, we walked in, and my dad was immediately like, we cannot go here. So then, like, we just kept on walking around, and then we found this place, and it was fun. But, yeah, I don't know. I love Columbia. I would definitely go there for a concert again. Even though there were so many cops coming back home, I thought like we were literally going to get arrested because my dad drives so fast.
That's
but,
hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, that's true Carolinian fashion. I mean, but I will say, versus North Carolinians, because did I tell you guys I used to live in Charlotte too? I am a Southern woman through and through.
That's not the South.
I have lived in the upstate of South Carolina, the Midlands of South Carolina, and now I live in the coast. So I am pure South Carolinian to the core. But I will say, North Carolina drivers versus South Carolina drivers is a very... there's a good difference. And I will say, they are both easily just as, like, scary and reckless.
Mm-hmm.
But South Carolina drivers are reckless because they don't know anything and they're stupid. And
that's
I see this as
so
a South Carolina
real.
Driver.
No,
But I was taught by a New Jersey driver, so I'm different. North Carolina drivers are scary because they know everything, but they don't give a damn. They just do whatever they want.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Of course you don't.
Because I drove to Myrtle Beach once. Like... 2 years ago for my sister who plays basketball. They had a tournament. They always had tournaments at Myrtle Beach. And, like, I remember it being, like, it was weird because, like, they always have, like, the TikToks where, like, the roads, like, change, like, dramatically every time you cross the border. And, like, it's the most, like, truest TikTok ever because, like, I was driving my mom's car. Like, my mom has, like, a pretty new car. Like, it has, like, very good kind of, like, what do you call it, like, the agility or whatever? Like, the ability for it to, like, stay, like, really smooth and, like, drive, like, in just a very, I don't know, like, smooth, I don't know what they call it. Like, it's, like, very balanced, whatever. And, like, so we were, like, just peacefully driving, and then, like, you know, the thing, that when you're going to Myrtle Beach, you have to drive through, like, a whole bunch of country roads.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was, like, such a tumultuous drive, like, once you cross the border. And then, like, we were driving through this one town, and they practically, like, they had, like, their pseudo, like, detectives, like, in a Camry with, in the Camry with their, like, police lights, like, attached to, like, the front window shield, blocking all the roads. And then, like, through the main road that goes through the town, they had, like, just a big bouncy house and, like, a whole, like, carnival. Like, this carnival taking place and, like, a whole bunch of people just, like, traversing the streets. Well, everyone was trying to get to Myrtle Beach because it was a weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you had to, like, take this, like, shortcut, which took, like, almost, like, 45 minutes. But, I don't know. South Carolina's cute. I mean, like, the thing is that, people were to be honest, like, 75% of North Carolina and probably like 85% of South Carolina are practically like indistinguishable. Like, we cannot tell the difference.
Honestly,
like,
yeah.
Like, you could merge like their borders and you wouldn't be able to like categorize like, oh, this is a more like South Carolina or North Carolina town. But then, like, the small, like, fractions of both the states, which are the more, like, metropolitan areas, they're very, like, distinct.
Yes.
And I think that's what makes, like, the states, like, very different. Like, Charleston, like, the vibe, like, Charleston versus Wilmington are drastic. Like, I love Charleston so much, but, like, I can't stand Wilmington besides from Wrightsville Beach and Carolina, and, like, the carnival at Carolina Beach.
I need to go to North Carolina more because I've never been to Wilmington.
And then, like, Raleigh versus... Like, what's your cap? Like, Columbia? Too. Wait, what's your capital, like, your biggest city?
Columbia.
Yeah, like, Raleigh, even, like, Greensboro versus Columbia are, like, drastically different. Yeah. And, like, I don't know, the cities in North Carolina are, like, 10 times better.
Yes,
but,
you're right.
But, like, the beaches, like, Hilton Head is, like, so nice, so pretty. Charleston's, like, amazing. Like, North Carolina beaches are fine, but, like, I think South Carolina definitely invested, like, allocated more funding towards, like, building infrastructure at their beaches, even though, like, it might result in, like, a Myrtle Beach.
Hey,
it might result in a Myrtle Beach.
Actually,
but, you know, like, you have, like, Hilton Head and, like, Charleston, which are beaches with actual, like, development and infrastructure, so, like, you don't have to just, like, sit there and, like, meander, like, every Carolina beach, which is, like, the ruralest place ever, so.
I know.
Pros and cons.
Yeah, I was, you know, scrolling TikTok, doom scrolling, and I saw a TikTok, and it was the Wax Museum in Myrtle Beach with the giant gorilla on the Empire State Building. And the caption was like, "Y'all, what is my sister doing?" And it was like the gorilla on the Empire State Building. It was like a giant Hollywood wax museum or whatever. I legit live less than 4 minutes away from that gorilla.
This is so much deja vu.
From that gorilla. I live literally 2 seconds away from that gorilla. I pass by her every single day. Wait. I hope she's doing amazing. But yeah, no, I will say the difference between places like Charleston and downtown Greenville or Greenville in general and like Spartanburg versus like a Myrtle Beach is that Myrtle Beach is definitely like, you know, for the kids, you know, they love the kids.
You said that Myrtle Beach is for the kids.
Depends on what time you go and where you go and what time.
I mean, like, North Myrtle Beach is for the kids.
Right. So, like...
Not down, whatever they call downtown Myrtle Beach.
Dirty Myrtle!
I would never take my kids there.
You can take your kids there because they have the Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Girl, that's
and the candy store.
That's, like, the most colossal waste of money ever.
You're right. And the locals, like, that's... The locals know that, the tourists don't. But...
I think most tourists do. Like, every time we go to Myrtle Beach, it's because, like, either my sister has, like, a basketball game, or, like, my parents, like, with their little, like, timeshare or whatever. Like, they have, like, very exclusive, like, deals because nobody will go to Myrtle Beach as much. So, like, they have, like, it's, like, dirt cheap, and then, like, both my parents, like, have the weekend off, so we go. But,
yeah.
I don't know.
I will say, I just don't like how campy it is. Like, you'll be driving down Myrtle Beach. You'll be driving on a strode. So a strode is like, it's like a long, like, 4-5 lane road, but it has like your like grocery store, your CVS, your Walgreens, a gas station, all that stuff packed, a McDonald's packed on a road.
Mm-hmm.
And then like literally like on that same road, you'll have an upside down mansion called Wonderworks, which is supposed to be like a museum.
No.
Or like you'll have like a race car track on the side of the highway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so like kind of weirdly like designed where like you're like, oh, like I need to go to the dentist, and you're driving down the road and then you see a giant gorilla hanging off of this fake Empire State Building.
Yeah.
And God forbid you actually want to go to the beach, because when you go to the beach and you go on, I can't remember what street it is called, King Street, I think, or something. No, not, King Street is in Charleston.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go like on the main street, there's a name for it, I forgot, in Myrtle Beach, you will find the most hood rat ghetto.
Main Street and Myrtle Beach
ghetto
is not for the kids. Not. Oh, but.
Hood rat ghetto, House of Pancakes, but it's like a plantation House of Pancakes because they gotta make
no,
that clear.
I can't stand the amount of Confederate flags you see there. Like, girl, like, it's like 40% black people.
You will see.
And
yes,
there's like Confederate flags on every other corner. And then there's black people shopping at the stores with
the
Confederate
Trump
flags.
Listen.
And Trump face and blazing on like the literal like
you're Myrtle Beach. If you take that shit to Charleston. If you wanna go where the liberals are, you take that shit to Charleston. Like Myrtle Beach is so weird because you'll have like the most run down fried chicken joint or Jamaican joint right beside this nice little plaza that has like a bridal store and like a tailoring and like cute little like cute little nice little bakery, and I'm just like, what is going on? Like, this place is bipolar.
My mom, this is like the most alive. Like, look at it, they're like dancing on the table. And like, and it had like, that little lady was so drunk, but my mom didn't even drink, but she was like so hot. I've never seen my mom.
That is hilarious.
But yeah.
That is hilarious. No, Myrtle Beach will do something to you. My favorite part of Myrtle Beach is, you know, like those videos where it's like dapping up tins in downtown Orlando or something? I have been to downtown Orlando too. Just to put that out there. But I definitely feel like we need to see more videos.
About Orlando Nights?
Yes.
I got some things.
We need to see more videos of people dapping up tins in Myrtle Beach. Because there are tins, and there will be tins when I go back down there in the summer, because it's going to be on and popping in the summer. But there are tins. I am one of them, and I didn't get dapped up.
I agree. I concur. What was I about to say? How was about it? Oh, actually, though, I do have to end with this. There's like, I don't know. Some of the hotels in Myrtle Beach are so nice, and like I have always had phenomenal experiences, and their staff is amazing, and like are the most like relatable, down to earth, like caring people. Like me and my family, like I have a big family, so we're always like asking for like extra towels, extra whatever. They always like when we go to like one night hotel, like they always like give us like unlimited like amounts of cookies. And then there's like this other hotel like where we always get like these like Shirley, my dad always gets this like Shirley Temple, so we just like sit by the beach like acting like we're like Vinny alcoholics or whatever. So I don't know, I have a lot of great memories. And then I won my first karate tournament in like 7th grade, got first place at Myrtle Beach.
Bro.
So I mean, I have some very fond memories there, but
yeah.
I mean like as a like vacation destination, I don't know.
I think it's definitely nicer when you live there, you're local, and you have access to a lot of different, like, there are, people don't know that there's a lot more to Myrtle Beach than just the beach.
Yeah.
Just, like,
there's a lot of, like, business and, like, enterprise at Myrtle Beach.
Yeah. And when you find out certain little, like, nooks and crannies here and there, you realize that you have the plus of having a lot of these cool little places.
Yeah.
Plus the beach. So it makes it a very tolerable place.
The beach past Myrtle Beach is actually pretty nice. Like, I love North Myrtle Beach. And I could definitely envision, like, the more, like, what, like, north-ish you go, the nicer the beaches become. Because, like, they don't dump their poop there, too. So.
And I haven't been that up north yet. I haven't been that up north. I'm kind of, we live kind of in, like, just Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
Just, like, we don't live in North Myrtle Beach. But, Orlando.
Oh, okay.
Orlando.
Okay.
What have been your experiences in Orlando?
Okay, so... This is like, so my parents, like, again, like, they are creatures of habit. I love my mom and dad. They're the best parents ever. But they're very, like, steeped in their value, in their ways. And then also, like, it's weird because, like, they have, like, I don't know, like, usually when we go on vacation, it's either, like, through, like, their credit card points or through their timeshare stuff. So, like, there's, like, this one, like, just really, like, nice, like, resort they have in Orlando that they're, like, so obsessed with.
Wait,
because,
I know exactly what you're talking about, because I think I stayed there, too.
Wait, let me see.
Look it up.
Wait, no. Yeah, this one.
Wait, let me see the actual, Hold on.
I mean, they all kind of look
the
same,
though. This is not the one I was, hold on.
But
continue.
So, and like, I think like they just had like such a like moment, like a revelatory moment of like love there, or like we were really young or something, and like we went to Disney World and they just had like so much fun. So they like every time we go on vacation, like every other year, one of the places we go to is not really every other year. Actually, no. When my little siblings were young, like they took them to like SeaWorld, Disney World, the studios place, and like we stayed there, and I don't know, it's so mixed. Like my mom and dad, when they go to Orlando, they just like revert into like these like totally like these more like youthful, like more like visceral people.
Visceral.
And like it's like kind of like it's kind of just such like a elucidatory moment, because like my mom and dad are usually like very like just serious, like consternated like people. But then like when we go to like Orlando and they have like, so like they had like this one like timeshare like owners event where they had like poker and like an open bar or whatever, and like my mom, who like never drinks, was like going consistently to the open bar, and we were playing poker, which is not, and like my mom's like very religious too, and like poker is not a very like religious, well, it was, they're playing poker with fake money, like they were winning prizes because like everyone there was like kind of like rich too, so they didn't really care about money. And like then like we were just like talking, like my mom usually isn't like the most like social person, but she was like just openly like talking, and then like my dad, like he loves himself like a nice drink, so he was like obviously drinking, and then like they're allowing me and my sister to get like as many mocktails as we want, and like this is like my same mom who like threw away like almost like $100 worth of mocktail materials I purchased with my own money because I was going through a very obsessive phase, and like me and my little siblings, we just made mocktails like every Friday night, and like I literally had to like drive us back to the resort because like it was somewhere off, because like I like my mom was like, dude, like both my parents were intoxicated.
Hey, if you're gonna do it right.
No, and I've never seen this before. Like we were in, like I literally didn't even have my license for like more than a month. Like it was like that phase. Like if you get in like an accident, like you have to like stay on your provisional license like for an extra year. And like we were only like 10 minutes away from like the actual like resort place. But like I was like I looked at my parents, I'm like,
you were thrown to the wolves.
I don't think you were suitable to drive. And like it was like peak time, it was like 10 o'clock, so like kind of peak time. It was like through like May, like very like central parts. And like my like they have like a big old van too, like with no small sedan I'm used to.
It was like
me and then like my sister like in the passenger seat, my parents in the back with my little siblings. So it was like such a weird moment, but I mean we made it. Actually like I'm actually like so eternally grateful for this one car. Because like you know like these like you know like most of the kind of like places in Orlando, they're like big like. Like complexes, like for like there were different like resorts and like hotels there. Yeah. So like I was like we finally made it back, and like we were driving and I missed a stop sign and there was another car there. And I guess like this car was already like being a little bit more attentive because like a lot of people were drunk and probably driving under the influence. Don't drive if you even consumed a half of a drink. Don't drive, please don't. It's really bad. It takes lives and it's horrible. I wasn't, obviously I was way underage. I was only 16 out of like 15 and a half, 16. And like this car like stopped like immediately and like gave me so much space to go through and didn't honk or anything excessive or like chase me down, even though it could have had the full right to do so. So yeah. But I don't know. I love SeaWorld. I love Orlando, like this Universal Studios too, and Disney Springs. Disney Springs is like so beautiful. I think it's so underrated. Like I'd rather go to Disney Springs than like actual Disney. Like it's it's phenomenal.
Disney,
but yeah,
I would rather go to Disney Springs and I know it. Don't tell me. So it's the O. Don't tell me. It's a park in Disney World, but it's like the grown up park, and I can't remember what
There's
it is.
There's a grown up park.
It's not like a grown up park, but it's like, it's the park that doesn't have all the BS rides. It's such an
Epcot.
Epcot. Not an O. Epcot. It's just an O. Epcot. Epcot and Disney Springs are my type of speed. That's the reason why I don't like Orlando compared to like places like Tampa. Mm-hmm. Because Tampa is like, you got like stuff for children, sure, but Tampa is for, you know, if you like, you grown, alright?
Yeah.
Tampa's Orlando beautiful. Is like, if you want to go to grown places, you gotta traverse through downtown Orlando. You gotta go to like, you know, they have places like Winter Park. Winter Park is gorgeous. Winter Park reminds me of downtown Greenville a lot. And it's like for a lot of the like, you know, people with money on, people with money. Driving in Orlando though, I completely understand you because I drove through Orlando on my birthday to get my eyebrow piercing and I felt like I was going to war. It took me like 30
minutes.
Yes, like it took me like, it took me like 30 minutes to like just be able to turn into anything. Because mm-hmm. a lot of people are driving like, and also, listen, hey, mi gente latino, te quiero mucho. Besito, besito, besito. But y'all do not know how to fucking drive.
No, that leads me to my favorite place in Florida. And I know people might say, oh my gosh, you're so basic. I love Miami. I love Miami.
I have never been.
Take me to Miami any day of the week. Just don't take me. Actually, like, Fort Lauderdale is also, like, kind of up there. But Miami, I love Miami so much. Like, I only spent, like, a day and a half there when we were going on a cruise. But it was, like, amazing. Like, it's such a beautiful city. Like, the beaches are beautiful. Like, I think Miami's, like, overrated when it comes to, like, that sentimental, like, aspect. Like, oh, like, you're only, like, your boyfriend's taking you to Miami. Like, when you can actually, like, if you work hard, you could, like, kind of show. I guess, like, in the Black community, at least. Like, you know, you have, like, a lot of the things, like, oh, like, don't be, like, deceived if, like, this, your man takes you to Miami. Like, you're worth, like, a lot more than that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you kind of, like, know, like, that kind of, like, mm-hmm. like, archetype, kind of, like. Yeah. You know, you might have, like, a really, like, bad, broke man, like, take you to Miami to impress you. But, like, don't be, like, just easily, like, deceived by it. Like, kind of that, surrounding just the place. But, like, Miami itself, like, as, like, a place, as a destination. And it's, like, so diverse, like, so, like, robust and, like, dynamic. And then, like, I don't know, like, Fort Lauderdale is kind of, like, it's, like, less cared for, a little brother, but it's still, I don't know, I don't like Fort Lauderdale. The beaches are, like, not that good. But, I love Miami, though. Take me to Miami any day of the week.
See, I need to go to Miami.
Yeah,
I need to go to Fort Lauderdale. I've only been to Tampa, Jacksonville, and Orlando.
And it's, like, the cheapest place to go to. Like, you could get, like, a...
Miami?
You could get, like, a Spirit ticket to Miami for, like, 50 bucks.
And you know what? As someone who flew Spirit for the first time to get back here... It wasn't that bad. My ticket was like, what, like $10? But I got there in one piece. Actually, my Spirit flight was the best flight I've ever been on. And it was some old potbelly pilot. And he was like, all right, the time is 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Oh, my Spirit pilot was cute.
But I'm going to get y'all there in 1 hour and 30 minutes. Okay. Ooh! When I was in Boston, I saw the most... He was a pilot, and I was like, girl, like,
Have you walked around Boston before?
Back in the day, like when I was in seventh grade.
No, there's so many times. I mean, the thing is, let me not say that.
This
is going off the record, but you know, like, you can infer.
You know what? If there's one thing I know about, and listen, I don't want to conflate Boston and Cambridge, because I actually was like mostly in Cambridge. Okay. I drove around Boston before. Mm-hmm. Because we stayed in Boston. Yeah, I was doing a program for Harvard when I was
so exquisite in seventh grade.
Yes,
wow, Harvard wanted your services
Harvard,
at seventh grade.
And I stayed there for a week and I suffered.
Guess where you're at now, though.
I know, right? I figure. But I was like, you know, I love Harvard. Let me go to this program. Let me apply. Let me see if I can get in. Let me do it. Mm-hmm. And then I got there and I was like, I hate it here, get me out of here. Because the place that I was in Cambridge was very like, needless to say, a Jordan Peele movie. It was very like performatively liberal, but at the same time had very sun downtowny undertones.
Yes.
And then I also
so true.
I bought a teddy bear for $60 and it was like this big. So I think after that I was like, yeah.
My parents only give me $100 when I do like programs like that, so
yeah, and I spent it all on that teddy bear.
That's crazy. That's the most frivolous investment.
I was staying in one of the dorms, old dorm, no AC. Like, yeah. Imagine like you're staying in one of the Fay Weathers or whatever.
All my Harvard friends complain about
it. You have to say it with accent. But I was there and I was like literally sweating like asleep in my bed. And the thunder there was, it's not like a thunder like rumbling. It's like pow, crack. Whip thunder. And so the lightning is like striking in my dorm. Mm-hmm. And it's like rainy, and I open the window and I see a beautiful view of Cambridge.
Yeah.
But it's like raining, and then I swear I laid back in my bed and I saw a ghost. people are not going to believe me when I say this.
My experience is not as flamboyant as this.
I feel like I saw the ghost of George Washington in my dorm.
Did George Washington even go there?
No.
But actually, he probably was in Boston.
He was there at some point. It was like George Washington, then it was Abraham Lincoln. I don't know. They were all haunting me. And then I remember I missed the bed check because I was like sleeping with my headphones on and like listening to my music, and literally my door got like busted open and they're like, you need to be awake for your bed check.
That reminds me of another thing.
It's like 10 p.m. Like, oh my gosh. And then we had to do this like rope course, like teamwork thing. Mm-hmm. And I was on this like rope, or I was on this rope course. I was on this like zip line.
Mm-hmm.
And when they put me in the harness was like damn near about to slice me in half. Like I had the wedgie of... I literally was like, this, my underwear is in my brain right now. Like, that's mm-hmm. how bad the wedgie was. Then I started crying, and I was like, let me down. And she was like, she did not like me. You need to do this teamwork. You're doing this for teamwork. You're doing this for your teammates. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm damn.
He's in seventh grade. It's crazy.
And then I finally
did our... They're already indoctrinating you for corporate life.
Exactly. It was a business thing. So we had to basically start a business. We presented our business.
Ooh, that reminds me of something else here.
We presented our business, and then I literally was like, I gotta get out of here. So I left. That was a really fun time. And then mm-hmm. I decided Harvard is not for me. But what was I gonna say? Well, why are we... Oh, yeah. Boston. It's not in Boston.
No. Like, I had... I went to Boston, like, 3 years ago. Well, like, 4 years ago. With my mama and my cousin and my mama's best friend and my twin sister. And, like, we were there because, like, my mama's best friend, cousin... Best friend, cousin. Lord knows. Like, they lived, like, right next to each other. They're practically, like, siblings.
Because,
mm-hmm. like, you know, country life, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they're the same age. Like, he was an engineer in Boston. He graduated from historically black college university, as they call it here in every class when we're talking about HBCUs. They use the formal name for it.
Historic but black, Negro, African-American, Negro, I mean black.
university. Oh, let me say that. Okay, HBCU. So he graduated from HBCU, like top of his class for engineering. And then like he went to like NC State, got his master's, and then he moved to Boston to work for this company.
Mm-hmm.
And like he worked there for like 5 years, and he had like the most just turbulent and kind of like just pervasive time in the city. And like he's like he moved back here, like now he lives in Charlotte, and he's like extremely successful. But like at his time in Boston, and like just the stories and like the way, like just all like the barriers and like kind of like microaggressions and like the different like barriers he had to navigate is just like obscene. And like it's supposed to be like it's very like diverse, like just very sophisticated, very highly educated city. But like arguably, like when he was like at his HBCU and like right next to a purported like sundown town, like it's like so much easier for like black people, like for him to like succeed there than like in this like very like the city that's supposed to be like welcoming towards people of like distinctive backgrounds. So I guess that really like characterized my time there and kind of characterizes how I perceive like the city. Like a lot of people I know like want to move to Boston after they graduate. I'm like, that's great, and it's a beautiful city and probably like one of the safest city, if not the safest city I've ever been in. Even like Raleigh kind of oof. Like sometimes you go to certain parts and you're like, we need some more social programs here for sure. But like actually like career wise, I don't know, like I would rather be in like a city like New York or Philly or even like Charlotte to start my career, at least as like a black professional, like versus Boston. But
yeah,
that I'll leave it there.
No, I completely agree. And yeah, you know what? The reason why
or Atlanta for sure.
I
love
Atlanta.
But you
gotta be careful. Whenever you use the restroom, always...
I love Atlanta.
I haven't been in a long time. You know what? The last time I went, hey, Uncle Ivan, if you're listening, te quiero mucho. But he took me and my brother, his two black niece and nephew,
mm-hmm.
to Atlanta, specifically and only for the African American Museum.
Oh, did you go to the MLK?
Yes,
MLK
Museum.
Oh my gosh, that is like literally the shadiest area I've ever been to.
Yes, and we also
took a tour. The epitome of Martin Luther King Boulevard. No, but it was so transformative.
We do not have an MLK Boulevard where I'm from. Not Myrtle Beach, but Spartanburg. We have a John B. White Senior Boulevard, which is just as bad.
Try
as
to be different.
I know someone who has like a Malcolm X Boulevard. I think that's even worse than the MLK.
I don't know, but like every, I love Martin Luther King Boulevard. Like every city, did even have Martin? Did Martin Luther King Boulevard in New York? I've never been on.
I'm pretty sure they do.
Boulevard.
No, we
New York.
We
city.
We went to the church. The church.
Oh, they do. It's in Harlem, right down Central Harlem.
That's about right. No, but we went there, and at the end, my uncle's girlfriend, she was Trinidadian, but she was like, you know, mixed. Like she was like, you know, she had that, like she got Indian in her family.
Very eccentric.
Yes, and she was like, I can't do the accent. I'm gonna try though.
Remember,
there are people listening. Tell my Trinidadians, big ups for Trinidad. But anyways, I'm so sorry you had to go through this.
Go through what?
I see you and I hear you. That's how she was to me and my brother.
In Atlanta?
When we were at the MLK Museum. And we were like,
oh.
I was like, girl, I don't know.
I felt empowered.
This
at
is
the
news
museum.
To me, too. I don't know. I was 8 years old, so I was kind of like sad.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That was my first introduction to like what like we went through. And I was just like, I don't know, I wanted to like punch the next white person.
No, it was so bad. I had the most cathartic experience in Atlanta. So I've been in Atlanta multiple times, but like the most like salient time, like at least within my mind, was going to the Taylor Swift, the Eras Tour.
Oh, you did
in Atlanta.
How was that?
It was amazing. It was phenomenal. The best night of my life. I don't know about that, but it was amazing. So like we went, and like it was such a phenomenal experience. And like it was like me, my mom, and my sister again. And like we had like low key not the best seats, but like the seats were only $50 per seat. Like,
hey.
And then like they used like their credit card points to pay for like a really nice like hotel downtown. So like it was like a very low cost trip too. And it was like so amazing. And then they had like a Mary J. Blige concert the same day. So it was like so staggering.
Gosh. Did
because,
she have boots on?
Oh, no. So we were at the hotel and like we were like going down the elevator. And like there was like a bunch of like white girls. you know, like Taylor Swift supporters. And like they were like bedazzled with their like jewelry and like their bracelets, like trading bracelets with like each other, whatever. I didn't do all that. I just showed up. My sister got dressed and my mom actually got dressed too. But and so like we were going down the elevator, it was like me and my dad, and like I'm like a middle-aged black woman. And like she had her like boots all the way up to her knees.
That's the
and her red
special.
And her and like her leather coat and her makeup done and hair done. It was
that Mary J. Blige?
Yeah, she was going to so no basically because like you know they all try to emulate like Mary J. Blige or like try to emulate kind of like that phase. And so like basically like she turned to my dad, she's like, are you gonna see Mary J? And like she was like, they're gonna go see Taylor Swift. And she gave us the most like just conniving, like kind of like belittling look. Cause like it was like such like a, it was like the epitome of Atlanta.
Know,
like
right?
You had like the oh my gosh. Like you know, like they had like that old kind of like more like southern like dichotomy. And then like you just had like these like just really like robust like black like population, and it was amazing. Like that's why I love Atlanta so much, because it's like one of those cities like where you could distinctly be yourself.
I want to go to Atlanta
but,
again so bad.
But it was amazing. It was the concert was amazing. We went to see MLK the next day. Ebenezer Baptist Church had a tour of his house.
Yep.
And then we did a couple other things. Like we went to like this really amazing Asian restaurant. Like and it was like the most like just unexpected thing. And yeah, it was, I love Atlanta so much. Like, I love Atlanta. I don't know if I want to live there, but like, I would, like, every time a conference is occurring in Atlanta, like, I'm always like, book my ticket right now. Like, I would always want to be in the city.
You know what? I actually have been to Atlanta. I used to go, I don't want to say kind of frequently, but my mom's best friend lived in Atlanta, if I'm getting that right, hopefully I am. And she lived in the suburbs of Atlanta.
Oh,
so,
the metro.
And she had that shit money. Shit money.
Oh, yeah.
So when we went to the suburbs of Atlanta, and she's, you know, black woman, you know, beautiful family, like all that. And
black love, too.
Right.
Prosperous
was her
Atlanta.
Husband? Yes, her husband was black. but, yeah, I just remember playing with her daughters. And then, like, I remember when we drove in Atlanta, we drove past the Cartoon Network, like, animation studios that they have in Atlanta. And I literally was so determined to become an animator for Cartoon Network at the time. I literally drew my own fan art of the Powerpuff Girls and mailed it to to the Cartoon Network studios. My dad helped me mail it. Did they ever get it? I haven't gotten any. You know, maybe I'll make once I graduate and get my degree, maybe I'll make
you're gonna be a
back.
Film and digital art studies major.
No. Instead of animating for Cartoon Networks, I'm gonna own Cartoon Network. That's what we're gonna do.
Honestly, they're probably in financial peril anyway.
I know, right?
So you could work for an investment bank
and I'm
to facilitate their merger acquisition, try to identify potential synergies amongst like organizations.
We're gonna create a merger. I'm gonna be behind this. I'm serious. Cause if I'm working in theater and like acting and stuff, maybe I can get my way into like film or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm, you know, being a big time lawyer, making these big bucks, I'm gonna merge Nickelodeon, Disney, and Cartoon Network into one.
That
major
is a glaring antitrust violation. You're
one
not
children's network studio, and we're gonna name it Dominique Studios.
No,
that's it.
You're gonna be the first person that's actually convicted of an antitrust violation with that scheme.
And they're gonna be like,
you know,
"Mama, why are the cartoon characters?"
It's gonna be
cussing?
The biggest case since since they like broke up J.P. Morgan or something.
Oh yeah. But one thing I will say is, as someone who has a little brother that I love very much. Having to watch his children's entertainment versus the entertainment I grew up on,
mm-hmm.
it like sinks my soul a little. It like makes my heart break a little.
Yeah. Because
he's never gonna know the glory of staying up till like 7 p.m. to watch the latest Amazing Wonder Gumball episode. He's never gonna know the glory of like watching regular show. He's never going to know the glory of staying up too late and seeing your first episode of Robot Chicken.
Or Friends.
Or King of the Hill.
Friends. Oh, Nick.
I never watched
like,
Friends.
At like 12 o'clock at night. Yeah.
But I'm talking about...
Nick at night.
I'm talking about... I was a Cartoon Network baby.
Oh,
sorry.
I never could.
I was a devious child. I was Disney in the day. Cartoon Network at night. Nickelodeon,
Disney
me,
used to make
we didn't
me
really
cry.
Have that tight of a relationship.
That's why I'm such a big Sabrina and...
Zendaya?
That's why I'm such
you
a big...
You said the person Tom Holland is dating.
Who is
They're
dating
engaged.
Tom Holland. No, that's why I'm such a Sabrina, Ariana, and Zendaya fan because of their...
They're like...
Their germination on Nickelodeon and Disney.
Zendaya?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say...
No, she had the Zendaya, like Casey Undercover. I love that show. That was like the only show my parents actually allowed me and my sister to watch unequivocally. Like, they like just the concept of like the black family and whatever.
Yeah.
So like they found like a lot of like synergies they really enjoyed on that show. And then like they hated the show Sabrina Carpenter and Olivia Rodrigo were on. Bizarre of Art, they hated that show.
Sabrina Carpenter was on Bizarre.
No. Wait, was it?
Sabrina Carpenter was on Girl Meets World.
Carpenter and Olivia.
I wasn't, you know what,
Rock
when Bizarre Bark came
Rigo.
Out, I had logged off of Disney anyways. I didn't get to see the Bizarre Bark and further era.
Bizarre Bark.
But like, what is it? Meet Me in the Middle, Bizarre Bark, all that stuff. I never even got to see the like.
Oh, well, yeah, well, Bizarre Bark. I guess Olivia Rigo was just in it, sorry.
Oh.
Don't sue
me.
But like, they hated that show so much.
Well, that's the thing, like, my parents, they weren't, and you know what, I feel like they kind of regret their decision to, like, not really restrict our internet access,
mm-hmm.
but I think at the same time, me and my brother not having restricted internet access meant that we got to watch a lot of teen, like, 13, 14-year-old shows when we were little kids,
mm-hmm.
so our humor was very, like,
advanced.
I want to say advanced, because we were watching shows that we had no business watching at all,
mm-hmm.
like, I was literally, like, 4 years old watching Victorious. Like, I don't know what, like, I was watching the TV.
I was 4 years old watching Roots.
We were watching, like, Total Drama Island, 16, like, Adventure Time, 16 regular
16 carriages.
Okay. Not everything has to be Beyonce reference. And then even on YouTube, like, I was watching PewDiePie when I was a little kid. I mean, most of us were watching PewDiePie when we were little kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he arguably was not, like, a kid's entertainment, like, entertainer. The thing is, back in the day, people weren't aiming to be children's entertainers. Like,
yeah.
they were, like, you know, going to be PG, but they weren't going to, like, coddle children. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you have people that strive, like, Blippi, Coco Felon, like, all the people that are, like, we're going to, like, indoctrinate these kids and, like, feed them, like, literal child brain rot. Mm-hmm. Like, my little brother told me I'm not skibbity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they love that reference so much.
I was like, where is he learning that stuff?
They learned it from YouTube Reels. No, when I was growing up, so basically, like, I spent a lot of time with my great grandma, and, like, we used to be there, like, most Sundays. Like, she did my sister's hair. Like, my mom's, like, she works in the medical field, so she used to work on the weekends. And then, like, my dad used to go to my grandma's house. So, like, my grandma, like, was cooking. And, like, she had us, like, watching, like, Roots and, like, The Color Purple.
I'm dead.
And,
she
and,
wanted y'all to be activists.
No, and, like, all the shows, like, The Maid. Like, all of these was, like,
I'm dead.
No, like, she used to have us, like, the most. Like, she used to have us watch her shows about, like. She used to have us watch it. Just, like, every, like, show available that, isn't, like, popularly disseminated nowadays because, like, they're so controversial. But, like, she used to just, like, break. And then, like, also, like, the Lifetime shows, too, about, like, the relationships. Like, they're, like, the
like
people, like, they're really, like, the old, like, Lifetime shows where, like, they have, like, all these, like, quote-unquote, like, rich, like, wealthy families. And they have, like, just the most, like, turbulent, like, relationships. And, like, somebody, like, and, like, stuff like that. You know, like, the Lifetime shows.
No.
You never watched Lifetime? Like, the Lifetime shows?
The TV that I watched that wasn't, like, kids' entertainment was Investigative ID with my mom.
Like, it was...
That's what you're describing.
Yeah. But it was, like, just, like, the most, like... It was, like, just the most disturbing shows.
No, I feel you. I was
watching
some disturbing.
I don't know, like... I don't know, like, I think at least, like, historically, like, I think that is honestly... one of the missing facets. Because, like, in one of my classes the other day, we were talking about the concept of neutrality and education. This is for tomorrow.
How did you get it to look like this, though?
What? No, this is what they did. It's sort of this entrepreneurship thing.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, girl.
Okay. We'll talk about it later.
No, so basically, what was about this time? I got it. No, okay, so we were talking about neutrality, and does neutrality equate to facts? And I was like, I would be perfectly fine if, like, neutrality, like, there is neutrality in education, if a movie like Roots is, like, emblematic of what the facts are. Like, if Roots is accepted as a fact, and, like, education is neutral, and, like, because of, like, the neutrality of, like, this concept that predicates, like, this neutrality, like, Roots is, like, incorporated, like, into a curriculum because it is, like, a neutral kind of, like, dissemination, like, emblematic of, like, what occurred. Like, it kind of showed the entirety of, like, slavery, like, its progression, like, from Africa to the United States to, like, the shadow, like, what distinctively made American slavery, like, shadow slavery, whatever. Like, if that was accepted as fact, I'd be perfectly fine with neutral education. But, like, nobody is willing to, like, really acknowledge that. And, like, that is kind of, like, what underbinds, like, the entirety of, like, the concept itself. And I think, like, that's kind of what people need to be shown. Like, people are like, oh, like, you know, educators are, like, prejudiced by, like, all these ideologies. And they're trying to, like, you know, indoctrinate kids or whatever. Like, kind of, like, use, like, their classrooms as, like, a way to express their, like, personal dispositions or grievances, like, against the world and derived throughout history. And I'm like, okay, like, but, like, if you actually show, like, if you actually take, like, even, like, the Smithsonian, like, the African American Museum in D.C., like, I would say that is, like, the most, like, categorically neutral display of African-American history. Like, of course, like, it's a very cathartic experience, but I wouldn't say, like, they're, like, trying to, like, indoctrinate, like, kind of turn people into, like, nationalists, like, trying to impel you to, like, join, like, the Black Panthers or whatever. Like, it's there, like, it's just, like, the most, like, unequivocal, like, display of what happened, and, like, they give it to you in pictures, they give it to you through, like, the story spoken by the people. However, like, people are just, like, naturally unnerved by that.
Right.
Because, like, when you actually discern, like, the entirety of the facts, when you actually read, like, when you actually read, like, the stories of these, like, the activists, like, read the data, like, read the facts, like, read what kind of, like, these, like, what kind of convulsed, like, in these institutions, like, that within itself is like enough to indoctrinate the people.
But the issue is that when people are raised in very, very tight bubbles, in very, very specific worldviews, when they are presented with information that breaks that worldview or creates, you know, that contradicts that worldview, then their brains are very, very talented. Their brain will literally convince themselves that that is not a fact, that you are trying to on purpose target their worldview in a way that is in bad faith. So you can literally tell someone, and I always see this online on the internet, on stupid TikTok comments, you can tell someone the facts and they will be like, no, because that was made up. And you're just like, well, then, if you can always convince yourself that something you don't disagree with is just not true, that no matter how, I can lay out all the statistics for you right now, and if there's some way you can convince me that the people that got those statistics were biased, or the people that typed those out were biased, you will never, ever be confronted with the truth. So I think it's education. We need to approach how we are educating people in a different way that comes from, you need to start when you're young, and it doesn't have to necessarily be, here are the facts, here are the statistics. It can start with just making your kid experience more than you.
Yeah, that's so true.
Letting them be open-minded. Yeah. That's all you need to do. When you are, if you want your person to grow up to not trust everything they see, to be a very, very inquisitive person, to to go and strive after their own information, you are raising them as a child, make them try different cuisines.
Yeah.
Make them interact with different types of people. Take them to new cities, bigger cities. Make them experience the world. And as you continue to do that, they are going to grow into the person that doesn't have to believe everything they see. They are going to willingly search the information out for themselves. That's how me and you ended up, and I'm sure that's how a lot of people ended up here, is that our parents didn't limit us to these very specific worldviews.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, one of the most, like, watershed moments, like, throughout my life was going to a summer program like yours, but I was a little older. I was like a sophomore in high school. And like it was at Appalachian State University, but they accepted kids like all throughout the state. Very like particular backgrounds. Like they had like people from like the top, like the private schools in North Carolina, like the Ravenscrofts and the Durham Academy, to people like from like the very small, very desolate towns of underfunded high schools, and like it was like such a amazing moment because like it was like right after COVID, like everyone's kind of like reconciling with. Did you get a text about the show?
No, it's fine.
Okay. And, you know, it was just such, like, my roommate was from Moldova, but his dad is definitely from Russia. you just met so many just, like, people, like, from so many different backgrounds, so many different cultures. Like, I know, like, one of my sister, like, some, like, I did a program, like, we were all sophomores, so we still had a lot of time in our journey, so we all did, like, different things throughout high school and culminated into college. Like, you have, like, my roommate, like, he, at the time, like, he goes to Brown now. He's, like, this big. Like, he just got, like, funded by, like, the Y Combinator for, like, his startup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, there's such, like, intelligent people, like, all engineering STEM-oriented. And then, like, one girl, she goes to, like, the same school as my twin. And, like, they rushed, like, sorority. Like, they didn't rush the same sorority, but they rushed, like, a sorority that are, like, really close to each other. So they always, like, party all the time. And then, like, the other person, like, I was really close to during the program, she also goes to the same school as my sister. It was, like, they both got, like, full scholarships there. And, like, she's, like, in the floor, like, right above my sister. It was so funny because, like, we were moving in. And, like, my dad, like, me and her, like, saw each other. We, like, talked for, like, almost, like, 20 minutes. Because, like, it was, like, a long time, like, since we actually, like, saw each other, like, really reconnected. Like, just followed each other on social media, like, on each other's, like, private stories or whatever. And, like, my dad was, like, oh, like, I didn't even know you had, like, you had, like... was there something going on between y'all? I'm like, what? Like, are you? But yeah, I don't know. Very important. I don't know. Like, I think it's very important also for us very culturally and worldly minded people to have kids or to take care of kids. But
yeah, of course.
I don't know. Like, I don't think I want to take care of kids if the world's going to burn. So.
Oh, well, thank you for that last.
You could edit that out. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Elijah, for talking with me. You truly have proof that you are the smartest person.
No, I'm so tired right now.
I hope I could have kept up with you. But with that being said, signing off. Catch you in the next one. Bye.
Bye-bye.